How are you?
I'm great. This is my first coaching call, so I'm a little worried that I haven't managed my technology properly.
You sound good. So that's always step one.
Great. Well, thanks for taking the time to talk with me.
What are we going to coach on?
Well, I need some help around a thought. I joined the tribe in May, and so I have a lot of, I hear myself saying, oh, it's so much better than it used to be, as something along those lines. And I think it started around the holidays, and it felt really empowering because I had memories of last year when, you know, I was eating holiday cookies and dip and all the other crap. And so it was kind of a good reminder. But since then, I think I've sort of fallen back on an excuse. Well, it's better than it used to be. It's better than it used to be. And so I think it probably, you will look inside my soul and see that this is more a bigger issue, but that's the immediate problem.
What is the problem then? Other than, you know, that you tell yourself it's better than it used to be. Because I don't think that that's a problem. I find this fascinating you brought this up, because I have actually been working on this thought for myself on several things, because it's one that I have, and I've been wrestling with the idea of, is it a bad thought to have, or is it where it's bring, like, I know in my case, what it's bringing up is me wanting to go back to how I used to think, which was, I need to feel like shit in order to take action. Oh, and I don't know if that's what's going on for you, but that's one of the things that I'm watching, like, for myself on certain things that I'm wanting to do. And I keep going back to, well, I keep waiting for myself to feel terrible, so I'll take action.
I would not have maybe articulated it that way, but I wonder if I thought it through a little bit, that that's where I'm going, because it does now feel like I'm just sort of satisfied, right? Like, it seems...
Are you satisfied?
Well, in the sense that, you know, I'm in my size 12 jeans. Okay. And, you know, I know that a lot of the reasons why I had gained my weight, I'm just not, you know, I don't have the same shitty thoughts. So there are a lot of ways in which... you know, it does feel good to that it's better, but I also wonder if that's, you know, feels complacent.
Well, this is what I want to point out to you, though, because you kind of just said what I was talking about. Like, I used to feel shitty, so I took action because I felt shitty. Well, now that I feel good about myself, if your brain is reconciling, you have to feel shitty about yourself in order to move forward. And it's going to wait until you feel shitty, which means it will start with doing nothing in complacency land. And then the next thing we know, it's like, if we keep yearning to want to lose weight, but in our mind, like, feeling shitty has to be a catapult, or whatever you call it, like a stimulus, then we're going to figure out a way to shit all over where we're at now to take momentum, to take, you know, charge again.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. So before you get too caught up in what I'm telling you as like, oh yeah, yeah, that's my fault. So I want to know what yours are. Is why do you want to lose any more weight?
And I've been thinking about that a lot, especially since the new year. You've been saying, you know, that you don't doubt that any of us really want to lose weight. And I was always thinking, do I? What I know I don't want is to, you know, abuse food or abuse myself with food. And I know that those two things are related, right? That the weight is going to go on when I do come on when I do that, and it'll go off when I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
And so I think the latter is what I really don't want to happen. And
okay, well, you're not doing that now, are you?
I don't think so. I mean, every once in a while, but. I'm also trying.
I mean, if you overeat every once in a while, that's not abusing yourself with food. It's called an overeat.
Right.
You know, it's plain and simple. Like,
you remember the times when I would just feel myself like punishing myself with food, like eating.
Well, you're not doing that anymore, so don't even worry about that. But back to my question, though, you're size 12.
Yeah.
And suddenly there's like this, you know, you presented with complacency, like there's something wrong with feeling like, what would you say? This is, I'm better than I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Obviously there's something wrong with that thought because you're not loving that thought.
Yeah.
Well, like, I just, what is it that you want? Like if I was to, if I said, you don't even have to work for it, you have anything you want in 3 months, what would you say, what would you pick?
Weight wise, I think I would like to lose another 10 pounds.
So if I said, Natalie, you don't have to do jack shit, just sit around, mm-hmm. whatever you want. And in 3 months you can have 10 pounds off.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. I'm your weight loss genie.
Finally.
Yeah. Like yeah. You rubbed the magic Zoom lamp. I came out.
I thought they were going to be the one, but I took that 1 o'clock call and got the genie.
That's right. So what would you pick? Like 3 months from now, if like literally, and I want you to just like, don't say she's tricking me. Be careful what you wish for, blah, blah, blah. Don't do that. I just want to, this is just a really good way to bypass your brain trying to play safe. Because if you do feel good right now, mm-hmm. you want to lose a little bit more weight, your brain is like going to, oh my gosh, seriously? We're just loving life right now. Why do we want to screw things up?
Well, and then I also think 10 pounds, really? Do you really want, you know, like, is it?
If you can have literally anything you want in 3 months and you could eat, what's your favorite food?
Oh God, we'll be here all day. I like pasta and pizza and
every stuff. Day you could have pizza and pasta all you want. I'm like the magic genie who's going to say like, sit in the lazy boy and eat pizza and pasta all day. You'll never have heartburn. You'll never feel full. And Netflix is on repeat and I'm going to give you money so you can live. That's all you got to do. Can you do that for me? What would you pick?
I really don't know that I would pick much more than 10 or 15 pounds.
So 15.
Okay. So you're going to just keep getting me to say, all right, more and more.
No, like that's what I'm wanting you to see. Yeah. That's what your brain wants. Your mm-hmm. brain wants 15 pounds or mm-hmm. wouldn't have said or 15. Like if you're like, well, if I didn't have to do anything, if it wasn't going to be hard, if it was going to be simple, well, yeah, I'd take 15 pounds off my ass. Hell, I'd be right there with you, Natalie. I'd be like, 10's good, 15's better. It's like Dolly Parton always said, I'm a size 8, but a 9 feels so good, I wear a 10.
Yeah, and that was what made me think that maybe there's something more to it, that I really don't set big enough goals.
Why aren't you just saying, all right, in 3 months, I'm going to lose 15 pounds? Why haven't you just done that?
Well, it's probably a combination of things that I know you hate.
I don't hate anything. You know what I love the most? Mm-hmm. Is hearing your bullshit thoughts so we can get past them. So you can start doing the things you really want.
Well, I think part of it would be that I don't generally lose at that rate. You know, that I have sort of decided that I can lose comfortably and easily a pound a week.
Okay, so you literally could lose 15 pounds in 3 months if you lose a pound a week.
It's still realistic, isn't it?
Oh, it's so funny when we start thinking, like when we quit like bullshitting ourselves and we just do a little math. It's like, oh, wait, that's 15 weeks from now. Oh, yeah, that would work. Because you know what? You know how I know? In March, we have an extra week. I was just writing newsletters and stuff. I was like, oh, we have an extra week in March. So I got to do an extra newsletter.
Yeah. Okay. So then that is not even that there's, I can rely on past experience to tell me that it's not realistic.
No. Well, and we never want to rely on past experience.
Mm-hmm.
Past experience is not an indicator of the future. What is, do you know what the indicator of what will happen in the future?
What I decide it's going to happen and do, you know, to make sure
what my you do today
are in line to.
Yeah. Like it's literally just the actions you take today indicate mm-hmm. what's going to happen tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, it doesn't matter like the rate. I mean, like sometimes you can be like, yeah, in the past I lost about, 1 pound a week. That was pretty average for me. You don't use that against yourself. What you want to do is you want to use that as information and say, okay, well then I will plan to lose 15 pounds in 3 months. And here's all the things that I will do in order to get there. Mm-hmm. Here's the things I'm willing to do. Here's all the things that I know could make it super easy on myself. And I'm just going to get started on doing these things. And then I'll either get there or I won't, but I won't be sitting around acting like I don't want to be there when I really want to be there. Like, there's no harm done just going for it.
Well, so then I guess I don't really understand why I don't. You know, I mean, it's, you've just laid it out in the terms that I'm comfortable with, and I still sort of feel like, oh, that feels presumptuous, or...
It is presumptuous. Mm-hmm. I'm presuming that you're going to go to work when we get off this call.
Yeah, I got you.
Very presumptuous of me. Like, yeah, she's going to get off this call. She's going to look at, so how long have you been maintaining?
I would say since the end of October.
Okay, so then I would imagine that you could go back through your January logs. Do you have January logs?
Oh, sure, sure.
Okay, then you
I
could
love
go
back. Those notes.
Do what?
I love taking those notes in the journal and doing the assessments and all that. That's
then it's going to be super simple for you. You're going to like just look. Just want you to look at all your food logs for January, mm-hmm. and then ask yourself: someone who's going to lose 15 pounds needs to change what? And yeah. It does not have to be wild. It's usually small little margin things. Like if you're maintaining, then you're probably going to need to eat about 3/4 of each meal.
Okay.
To see what happens. Mm-hmm. You're probably not going to need to change food. Or you look at some of the stuff and say like, okay, well, since I've been maintaining, I've added in a few fun snacks and stuff. Whereas I'm having protein bars now, it's going to be like, do I need one or not? Do I want to have just an apple instead? Like, it's going to be all the small things.
Yeah, and so that's that I've got to guard against the idea that it's just not enough. But I,
what you know, what's not good enough right now
is thinking I'm presumptuous because I want to lose weight.
Yeah, thinking it's going to be really hard,
mm-hmm.
or thinking that it's going to be. Whatever it is. But what I would do if I was you is I would write out your honest thoughts about what it would take for you to lose 15 pounds. And then mm-hmm. I want you to argue as to why that's a bunch of bullshit.
Okay.
The, usually what I see when people are either, either people who are not doing their 24-hour plans at all and are stuck and not losing weight, or who get some really good success, they're like, oh, I just want to lose like 10 or 15 more pounds or whatever. I just want to see what that's like. They're really stuck in what they think is going to be required to get there.
Okay.
So, I didn't realize my phone was on. So it's like really just being honest about, let me just see what kind of thoughts I have around it. Like, what do I think it's going to take of me? Do I think it's going to take more time? Am I going to have to be too hungry? Like, whatever it is that you're afraid that it's going to be. That's what's sticking you in.
Okay.
And just remember that your fear, it's never as bad as we think it's going to be when we're actually doing those things.
Oh, gosh.
It's always the worst part mm-hmm. is the thinking about that.
Okay.
That is where fear comes in. Fear is just a collection of thoughts that manifest through the body, and that's it. Fear's not even real. It's so mm-hmm. funny because, like, I was listening to a book this morning that talked about fear. And he said, make a list of what you're most afraid of. And he said, then ask yourself, which one of these things are actually going to kill me?
None of it. None of it.
Because our human brain has fear. Because back in the day, we had to be worried about things killing us all the time. He said, we used to be afraid we would leave our cave and a tiger would pounce on us and eat us alive. Now, we're terrified because we have to give a speech in front of 10 people.
Like, I'll get my kind bar at 4 o'clock, right?
Right. He's like, now I'm afraid. that not having my kind bar at 4 o'clock, I'm probably going to just die. Like, just send the tigers. But in our modern day age, what's happened is our brain has not caught up on how to take a lot of the emotions that we were born with
mm-hmm.
to actually keep us alive. And they're trying to reconcile them in the modern day world. We just don't have that much fucking danger anymore. You know, like I have a friend right now who's in the hospital.
Oh,
I'm getting sorry. Like plasma exchange. Well, it's Chelsea from the tribe.
Oh, no.
She has MS. She's getting plasma exchanges, all that. She has some legit fear.
Right.
Our kind bar at 4 o'clock, maybe not so much. But that's the stuff that we have to look at because our brains want to hang on to what we think is going to be required to lose weight is so scary. I mean, shit, Corinne, I might have to go out to eat with people and order a salad. What will they think of me? I don't know that you're eating a salad.
But you need some vitamins.
But that's what, but if you think about it, that is the only thing stopping you from, if sitting around in a size 12 feels complacent,
mm-hmm.
then that says to me, you want more, but something in your brain is saying, but more, I don't know. We're like happy here. You're wanting to sign up for a lot of shit.
Yeah.
What you want to do is you want to see like what your brain is creating that's imaginary shit. And that's not really going to happen. If I'm really hungry at 4 o'clock, I'll have the kind bar. But now that I want to lose 15 pounds, I'm going to decide at 4 o'clock, do I need the kind bar? Mm-hmm. Size 12, probably can eat it every single day. Size 10, from now until I get to size 10, probably needs to think about, am I eating because I'm hungry or not?
Okay.
And that's the big difference between you and size 10.
Mm-hmm.
Is a choice.
You make it sound easy. Just a choice.
It is easy, though. The only thing that makes it hard is you worrying it's going to be hard.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a hand wringer. That's why I loved your podcast about making decisions. That was so helpful in every way.
Yeah, I was watching a movie last night called, I forget the name of it, but it was about this back in the 50s, these Russian spies. Mm-hmm. And the guy basically was going to jail, maybe going to have be sentenced to death. And then he was going to be handed back over to the Russians and they didn't know if they'd kill him for, you know, whatever, all this other stuff. And Tom Hanks kept asking him, you know, aren't you worried? And he said, will it fix anything? Like, is it serious as a heart attack? And he'd be like, well, no. And he said, okay, well, then I'm not going to worry.
Okay. Yeah.
And I mean, I think it's as simple as that. And I know that sounds simplistic, but it is. It's like every time you catch yourself doing it, you just say, is this going to fix anything right now? It's not going to fix anything. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
He was like, I'll either get killed when I get over there or not. I'll know when I get there. But in this moment, I'm not going to think about it.
Makes it easy to decide. I'll figure out if I'm hungry or not at 4.
Right. That kind bar. You'll probably never look at that kind bar ever again in the same way after this call.
Probably not. And so I'm glad I gave you a specific example so I could
there you go.
Have it in my head.
Well, get after it.
Thank you. It was You're fun welcome. Talking to you.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
That was a good call. All right. Proud of myself. Look at me. Just sitting here high-fiving. I'm such a good coach. All right, Susan. I'm sure Kathy's laughing. She loves it when I'm just like, oh, Grant. Hello.
Hey.
Hey. Is that a treadmill behind you?
No, it's my sewing stuff. I'm in my lair up here. I'm in my sewing room.
Your woman's womb.
Yeah. My she cave.
She cave. All right. I hope there's no tigers outside the she cave. We all know they're just waiting to eat us.
First let me say thank you so much. I've lost almost 40 pounds.
Congratulations, lady.
I know. I'm about halfway to goal. I'm becoming an exerciser. I'm the grandma shark. I got my swim fins and my little bear claws and I swim 20 laps now.
Wow.
Yeah. Not every time, but that's my goal now. So
you must wear a swim cap.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
My biggest fear of swimming is never drowning. It's being green headed and bleached blonde. And I'm just like, conditioning, get the cap on. And you're redheaded, so.
Yeah, recently became a redhead.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, I like it. So I'm 61, and you saved me from going on metformin, I think, because I was a groupie when I was going to a nutrition clinic, and they told me that I was borderline for pre-diabetic or whatever. And yeah. if I take this drug, I will not become diabetic.
And, oh, gosh.
Yeah, so at the same time, I was starting to listen to you. And I said, that's probably bullshit. I can probably take care of this. So
I'm glad you did. I don't know if you know, but my grandmother died of pancreatic cancer from unmanaged diabetes. She just loved her sweets and just couldn't do it. And, you know, just ended up. And let me just tell you, pancreatic cancer is no joke. It's terrible. Yeah. I'm glad you got started on that shit.
Yeah. And I think I don't know if it's true, but I have a feeling that if you have a problem with sugar there, that maybe your body craves it because you have a problem with it. I don't know, but my big problem now, I have two areas that I need your help with. I have a problem with going out with friends. Like that's my best thing that I love to do. I used to go out to lunch every single day with my one student teacher. Yeah. Every single day. And so, yeah, I gained weight that year.
I bet. But,
yeah, right now I'm doing a lot better because of the planning.
Yes.
And sometimes there's a day where my friend does want to go out and I try to make the next best choice. And I still find I'm going past my two in those situations. And I TDL'd about it. And I think my thought is I want her to have a good time. And I'm more worried about other people having a good time than I am sometimes about my own goals.
So she can't have a good time unless you 8 to 3 or 4?
Exactly. Right. They don't even notice. I don't think people even notice or care what you're doing.
No, they don't.
No.
Why do you care? Why are you assuming that her good time relies on you having 4 or 5 more bites of your food?
Or making a different choice like than what she expects to, like, because we used to go out and have sandwiches and fries all the time, you know, and now
Now you have what?
Usually we're splitting a salad and then getting maybe just one slice of pizza or something like that. So we are, when I'm with her, we are putting more salad in there for sure. And
what has she said about all this?
I think she definitely kind of wants to do the same thing. As a matter of fact, I super want her to be a groupie.
Let's just pretend for a minute though, like she actually tells you, like, what is her truth? What has she said about you two going out to eat?
She just wants to talk to me. She totally just wants to unload about her week or, you know, get some support. That's what she really wants.
Okay. And then when it comes to ordering food though, it's like, where are you guys eating at?
Anywhere. We live in Corning, New York, and we have a nice downtown, old timey downtown with a lot of restaurants. So we have a lot of choices, but there's good pizza places, but they also have awesome salads. So,
well, where's y'all's typical jam that you go that you're probably going to want to order some bullshit?
Probably the pizza place. Probably.
Right. You guys are at pizza place. Time to order.
Yeah.
She wants to get ordered so y'all can unload. What has she said about the food?
She usually says it's up to me.
Okay. So you know what she's probably thinking then? She's probably thinking, I'm going to follow her lead because here's what I don't want to do. I'm not strong enough to choose healthy. She is. Or I really hope she can justify me eating some bullshit. Because if she eats bullshit, then I feel justified in not taking care of myself.
Yeah.
This, yeah. And if I had to guess, that's what goes on in her head.
Yeah. And she's supportive too. I mean, if I am honest and say something, I think the other thing that plays into it is just that time of the day that I have a problem with grab asses because it's, maybe I kept dinner a little bit later than I should, or, went home at 4 o'clock tired, went straight to the gym and worked out anyway, which by the way, for a while, all I was doing was parking at the gym and drinking coffee to get myself to go into the gym.
That's good. I love that.
That was all from you and from not wanting to give up. I wanted to develop the habit of going straight to the gym. And I was so tired at 4. It's just normal. I'm tired at 4. So my friend was working out. She'd be in there waiting for me, and I'd be out in the parking lot drinking coffee, trying to talk myself into going to the gym. But I think I'm over that.
You're a good example of taking a lot of the things I talk about to heart, like layering it in, getting it done, like really changing like who you are. Like you're really changing who you are, not just, I'm just doing these things you tell me to do.
Right. And I got the Atomic Habits, and it's funny because I was doing what you said, and then I read the chapter and go, oh, that's what I'm doing.
Right. Isn't it good when an author confirms that you're doing it right? Well, let's go back to like lunch.
Yeah.
I want you to see the two stories that you have working now. So you have the one story that you're there and that she wants you to eat with her. Yeah. And like, that's how you guys connect and stuff. Then you've got the other story of like, here's what's actually happened. She says, I get to pick. And then we've created a new model for her. I really think you need to go with the new model of she's probably, like, especially when you say, I'm trying to get her to join the groupies. Why do you want her to join the groupies? Obviously, she must want to work on her weight too. Otherwise, you would not want her in there, right?
Yeah. 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 We are going to the Galapagos with a group this summer. And we're going to have to have some stamina and do some hiking and some snorkeling and stuff like that. So she actually did join the gym with me, but she's back in the phase of she goes once a week.
That's fine. You let her figure her journey out on that part. But when you guys go out to eat, you take the lead.
Yeah.
And I just talked to her ahead of time about it. Say like, hey, so I know I keep trying to get you to join these groupies, but here's what my weight loss guru tells me. This week, I'm going to go pre-plan all of our lunches.
Yeah.
You tell me what days you're going to want to go and where we're going, and then I'm going to figure out the food.
Okay.
And just do that.
Yeah, she'd love that, probably.
Yeah.
She probably would. Yeah.
Who wouldn't, if you're struggling with your weight, who wouldn't love it if somebody just said, hey, I'm going to think about food for us? Just show up. And I'm going to even be your accountability partner. Like, not only am I going to make all the decisions that are going to help you lose weight, but I'm going to be your biggest supporter in the moment. So like, you don't have to worry about it. Like, it's kind of a good deal. Most of the girls on here would be like, sign me up, Grandma Shark. Where are we going?
Yeah. And we're both teachers. Actually, she was my student teacher. So it's pretty cute. It's a nice relationship that we have.
Yeah. Well, the best way to keep that relationship in integrity is to show up with it with integrity.
Yeah.
Not by sitting there and acting as if like this lunch that you're having somehow is going to slow you down on your results. The only thing that will slow you down on your results when it comes to this lunch is you thinking that you need to eat junk food with her.
Right.
And that's not true. Right. You can have an amazing relationship with somebody and it will have nothing to do with what you put in your mouth.
Amen. Exactly. Yeah, I agree. And I'm really making progress toward that, I think. And the other thing that I'm making progress with, which a lot of people struggle with, so I'll just share one more thing so somebody else can coach, but I have a problem with grab assing. I think I have to have chocolate in my life. Like it's a part of who I am. I have to have chocolate. And I'm down to two choices. Either I schedule chocolate every day, mm-hmm. or I make it a weekly exception. and I have a problem overeating my weekly exception so far. So this week what I did was I wrote it down. It's going to be a bag of peanut M&Ms at 8 o'clock on Saturday night.
Do you know that's my husband's favorite candy? Oh my well, God, Chris can get down on a bag too.
yeah, you can't have a bowl of those.
No.
Ever. So I did it successfully this week. I didn't have chocolate until it was Saturday night. I had my chocolate and I was fine. I wasn't out in the kitchen looking for the peanut butter or anything like that when I got done. So far, I think for the weight loss journey, it's going to be Saturday night M&M peanuts.
Well, you know, we used to talk about this a lot, and I'll say this real quick because it's important, and I'm glad you brought it up, is that we used to teach a big key piece of the exception wasn't just like when you ate it. A big key piece was you looking forward to it, kind of like Christmas. You know, we don't get all of our Christmas presents all throughout December. Like, we get to enjoy the anticipation and the unraveling. Like, we get to, like, enjoy that experience by how we think about Christmas Day. Same thing happens with the exceptions. It's like when you're thinking about how much you're going to get to enjoy it and how you look forward to it, you start creating such a better relationship with joy food and exception food. Yeah. What happens is that if you think all week long, I only get to have it then, it's so terrible because I don't get to have it until Saturday. Like, you have to watch your mind about how you're thinking about it. You want to train your brain all week long to enjoy the experience. And that way, when it actually happens, it's even better. And it doesn't feel desperate. You're not going into it like, thank God it's time for the M&Ms because I couldn't have chocolate all week long.
Right, right. And it's helping me every day. I'm writing down that my goal is not to grab ass.
Yeah. I would just write down that I would write down a powerful statement that says, I no longer grab ass.
Okay.
Like, just every day, I no longer grab ass. Even if you end up doing it, you remind yourself, oh, wait, I forgot. I'm no longer grab ass. Like, you're just always reminding yourself of who you are.
Yep.
And eventually your actions, because, you know, when you tell yourself all the time, I no longer grab ass, I'm not a grab ass, or that kind of stuff, there will be the version of you that still thinks you do that.
Yeah.
They will come into an alignment eventually. As long as you keep reminding, like, every single time you overeat and every time you, like, if you binge and every time you do something, if you keep reminding yourself, I don't do that anymore. Like, yeah. I'm going to learn from this one because that's not who I am anymore. They eventually snap into alignment because you're constantly reminding yourself of who you want to be rather than getting snarled up in all this other bullshit around one behavior you know, exhibited.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've written it like you said about writing it. So I have been writing it, but I like changing it to a statement. That's great. And then some mornings I'll sit there and I'll write it a bunch of times on the back of the page before me in my journal. I'll write it. I don't grab ass. I don't grab ass.
Yeah.
I resist urges, all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, don't resist urges. Say, urges come and I'm a boss lady.
Okay. Okay.
Have the authority over them. You don't have to fight urges. Urges aren't a bad, we always think they're like this bad, evil character in our life. Like, no, we're supposed to have urges. We're designed to have them. If we didn't have an urge to have sex, we wouldn't have like a race. So urges are a thing that we have to have. And it's just like, we're just in a day and age where we get urges for all kinds of different stuff, but we manage them.
Okay.
I mean, every time I see an FOJ walking down the street, I have to manage my urge to just go over there and be like, hey, man, you want to go out?
All right. I manage my urges. I like that.
Right. I manage my urges like a boss lady.
Like a boss lady. I got it.
Right. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Ooh, good call. Enjoyed it.
So glad to meet you.
You too. Bye. Grandma Shark. That's the best nickname ever. All right. Rebecca, y'all next. While we're getting her on, I just want to remind everybody, hey, if you're going to do Don't Stop Believing, get registered. Don't be dicking around and not get registered and then be emailing me in a week going, am I going to be behind? It's like, no, just get registered. All right. That's my moment of don't dick around. All right. What are we coaching on? You're a newbie too, aren't you? I don't think we've ever coached.
No. This is the first time I'm meeting you. So
all new faces today.
I joined in January and I'm super excited about this. The program is working really well for me. I love the basics. I love that I can have some fruits and some carbs and I'm not obsessed about that. That's fabulous.
Yes.
Camp in April.
Are you really?
Monday. I'm super excited about that. I'm getting my list together of what I want coaching on. So rest up.
Don't worry. Let me just tell you, like, it's a slow roll the first day. And then the next day, we make a big list of just everything.
Awesome.
And then I just start grouping and going and just be like, all right, you're next. And no, you had this too. Get in.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So we are, like I said, the program's going well. I'm doing my 24-hour plans. I'm doing well with the basics. I need some help with the sneaking food.
Okay.
So like if I'm in the car, bag of M&Ms back with Grandma Shark and Chris, I've got those peanut M&Ms. If I am running an errand, I'm stopping for frozen yogurt. It's like I get antsy when I'm with other people because I wouldn't be able to get something. And I was really, when I signed up, I was really worried about this because my kids are grown. They're out of the house. One's out of college, one's in college, so they're gone. And my husband is working out of state right now. And I thought, oh my God, 24/7, it's going to be like one big sneak, right? No, it has been good. When I'm by myself here, hadn't been an issue. What has been an issue is when either they come here or I go there. And it's like, I get really antsy when I'm with other people. I don't know. It's not like today. I'm not going to have M&Ms today. But if I had a house full of people, I'd be thinking, well, I can't have anything. I'm going to have to run to the grocery store. I'm going to have to go get something. And then I have it in my car. It's not like I tell everybody, oh my gosh, I'd really like some M&Ms. I'm going to go get them and I'm going to bring some back and we're going to have them.
Now, why is it being around people makes you think you need to eat in secret?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I love being around people. I love to be with them. I love to talk to them. I don't mind being by myself either. So it's
not. What is it that you're eating in front of them that's so different than what you eat just other than when you're sneaking food?
You know, I think it's amount. I think it's amount because my husband and my kids are super supportive. I mean, I can say, geez, I want some brownies. And nobody goes, well, have you seen your ass? Should you have brownies? Nobody says anything.
Oh, what are you thinking, though?
I mean, I've been working really hard since I joined in January on how I talk to myself. And so if I want brownies, then I'll say, I'm going to put it on my plan for the next day. I'm going to have an exception because on my weekly plan, I've got the days I want to have an exception, right?
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know why I feel that need to eat a sleeve of Oreos in my freaking closet or M&Ms in my car when no one's there. And I have journaled about it. I have thought about it.
When you've journaled and thought about it, what's your best guesses as to why you're doing it?
I think there's shame behind the amount that I'd like to eat, you know, because even if I'm having a bag of M&Ms, what I'd like to have is a whole bunch more M&Ms, right. You know, and I feel that feels shameful.
Why does it feel shameful that you would want more than a serving size?
It feels greedy. It feels unhealthy. It feels wasteful.
What if it's just a want?
Okay.
Let me just tell you how we know this is just your thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I believe you. Because my question here is I'm working on figuring out the thought that's driving this action, and how do I stop it? So I know it's, I believe you that it's just a thought. So
why is it shameful then? Let's put in our circumstance line. How many Oreos would you like to eat?
Oh, I'd like to eat a couple of rows of Oreos.
Okay, so two rows of Oreos.
Yeah.
That's our circumstance.
Sure.
What's your thought? Your circumstance is actually, I want two rows of Oreos.
Right. And my thought is that my action is that I'm getting in the car and I'm going. But my thought is that I'm going to get fat again. And I don't understand the secrecy part of it. Because I could truly eat them in front of my husband. He has loved me.
You're trying to solve something that doesn't need to be solved.
Okay.
I think that is just, you're doing it because in your mind, let me tell you why you're eating it in secret.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with your family. It has nothing to do with anything else. You're eating in secret to try to get away from your own thoughts about it.
Okay.
So just.
Well, that's not working. It's not working so well.
Like, we always think we're going to somehow get away from our own thoughts. I just wrote about this. Like, seriously, it's like in this document. I wrote it before we got on this call. We just think we're going to get away from our thoughts. They're always there.
Yeah.
And they'll be there when the Oreos are gone.
Right.
You know, they'll be there when you weigh in. They're coming. It's just a matter of when do you want them to come. I always just invite you guys to let them come beforehand, rather than waiting until after. So the thing about it is, I wouldn't even worry about solving for the secret part. Like, that's not, like, I think in your brain, you're trying to make that such a big deal.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure out the why of that, because, like, today.
Just an action.
Okay, all right.
That's all it is. I want you to just be like, it's just an action. I eat in secret like most people do.
Okay.
It would be like saying if you were going to, I know everybody's going to laugh when I say this. Say we're all going to masturbate. We don't exactly go out on our back deck and do it for the neighbors to see.
No.
Right. There's just certain behaviors that we're going to do that we're going to keep private.
Yeah.
Like, it's usually because we don't want anybody else to see us do it.
Right.
Including ourselves. Like, if you're going to eat two sleeves of Oreos, it's not because you think what your husband is going to think about you. You know your husband's going to think nothing. It's about your own self-judgment. Right. And if somebody else saw you doing it, it would probably make you go like, oh my God, they probably also think I have a problem. I have a problem. They must think I have a problem.
Right.
So eating in secret relieves you of like one layer of bullshit thought.
Okay.
That's the only thing it's doing.
Okay.
All right. So it's not like that big a problem. So we're eating two sleeves. We want two sleeves. You have judgment about your desires.
I do.
That's the only thing that's broken.
Okay.
What if it's just not a big deal that you want those things?
Okay.
Like, tell me. If every time you wanted two sleeves of Oreos, your brain didn't go to, this is a problem, I'm going to get fat. Oh my God, I shouldn't be having these thoughts. This is like, we're surely going to end up in like, I'm going to be in fat destitution or something.
right. They're going to come haul me away from.
Right.
Okay. So more just that I need to work on sitting with that urge of having the Oreos, like just any of the other urges, and not worry so much about the secret part.
I wouldn't worry about the secret part. The secret part literally is just you not having to worry about what other people think.
Okay.
Even if you know your husband, like if you got down on two rows of Oreos sitting in front of him, let's just pretend for a second. You're sitting in your living room with your husband. You're like, all right, I just want to let you know, I really want two sleeves. I don't even just want one. I'm going to eat two sleeves of Oreos.
Right.
He would probably say what?
Okay. I mean,
you would think he would think what?
That I was a pig, that I was greedy. Yeah.
That's why you do it in secret, because when you're doing it in secret, you can really focus on the food.
Mm-hmm.
You get it out in the open. Yeah. And when we do it out in the open, then we also don't assume there's anything wrong with it. Mm-hmm. When we do it in secret, it's because we think there's something wrong with the way we're behaving.
Okay.
So I want you to, first of all, like, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with wanting to eat a lot of food engineered to taste fucking good and drink more. Right. They make big things of Oreos on purpose to get us to eat more. Yes. They don't want us to eat two, which is the serving size.
Right, right.
There's a whole ad campaign around potato chips called "You Can't Just Stop at One."
That's true.
So it's normal that our taste buds would be like, "Well, that's great. Let's have more." So I want you to like just normalize the idea that there's nothing wrong with you because you want to eat it in bigger amounts.
Okay.
That just is a circumstance right now.
All right.
Does that make sense?
It does. It does. Okay. Yeah.
So then the second piece of it is not just sitting with the urge. I want you to sit with the desire to want to eat more.
Okay.
Like, I want you to like start breaking. You're going to need to break the habit of thinking there's something wrong with wanting more first before you really gain authority over eating it in secret and stuff.
Okay.
It's a little
bit true.
Do what?
That's probably true. Step by step. Leveling up.
And it's an important step because if you keep telling yourself there's something wrong with this desire, mm-hmm. then it's going to fuel you that every time that you act on that desire, there's something wrong with Rebecca.
Right, right. And it feels more and more shameful each time. Yeah.
That's how the shame toilet starts working. We get into that spiral.
I love that. I love it. Yeah. I'm still so in that
movement. It's really breaking right now that I just want you to understand that like there's like with me and wine, mm-hmm. like one glass is good. A whole bottle. Woo. Let's do that. You know, I mean, but I don't sit around going, I just don't know why I'm one of those people that has to want a whole bottle of wine. And like, there must be something wrong. I must be an alcoholic, obviously. Mm-hmm. But that's what we go to.
See, I think I was getting caught up on that because I was trying to equate it with alcohol. I have a family member who has health problems and sometimes I'm up in the middle of the night and driving and I'm responsible for these things. And so when I'm by myself, which right now is all the time, I don't drink. No big deal. And it's been years, right? It's been like 7 years that I have this in and I have not one time sat in my closet and had a glass of wine.
Right.
I have not one time come to tears over, you know, oh my God, I can't have wine. This is awful. And yet over this, it's been a struggle and I've been trying to equate those and I just need to stop that.
I think so. I mean, I think you just have to I think for a lot of you, understanding that eating in secret is like, if you can just first break the idea that there's something wrong with you because you do it, it's just the mm-hmm. only reason you do it is so that you can turn off judgments from the outside people.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
It's like when I overeat right in front of Chris.
Right.
Like I'm just not a secret because I don't ever think that there's something wrong with overeating.
Okay.
Now, is it going to like keep me 100 pounds down and stuff? No. But I always know it's an action.
Right.
That's all it is. It's just a problem to solve. It's like, let's just look into it. It's like, it's gotten to where it's more like when I weighed like 250 pounds, the way I thought about everything was always like so broken. Like it was always, there's something wrong with me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Rather than it's like, no, you're just overeating. There's nothing shameful about this event. There's nothing that like predicts your future. It's not like it's, we just make it seem like it's such a big deal. And it's like, what if we just decided that every time you ate M&Ms in the car and Oreos in the closet or whatever you're doing, if we're like, let's just make it neutral.
Okay.
It's like, okay, this is a habit to break. The next time I want to eat M&Ms in the car, I'm going to tell myself no M&Ms in the car. And I'm going to ask myself, why do I want them? And if I want them, I'm going to bring them home and I'm going to sit and eat them.
Okay.
It teaches your brain to stop thinking that food needs to be eaten in secret. You need to get it before, you know, you were wiser to yourself. It's like setting up these little bitty like triggers for yourself to think about it all different. Doesn't mean it goes perfect. Mm-hmm. So like what you'll need to do is you need to come up with a proto. Is that my cat?
It is.
Come up with a
mine are wandering around here too. So
he just marches the whole time I'm on a call. I'd come up with a protocol for yourself on what you're allowed to think and how you're allowed to behave and all the things around when you do eat the Oreos and the M&Ms and stuff. I think that's real important for all of you because I think a lot of you are in such the shit habit of how you deal with it. It's like y'all know to do a recovery worksheet, but the recovery worksheet doesn't start until you've beat yourself up sufficiently.
Sure.
Then we start the recovery worksheet. And I'm like, can we just get to the part where we like start recovering? The quicker we can get to that piece, the quicker we solve it. The more time we spend reinforcing that we're broken or a bad person makes it way harder to fix things.
Okay. That's awesome. That's really, really helpful. Thank you so much.
Well, I hope it is. If it's murky or not clear, I love talking about this stuff. So like post it up in the Facebook group. I can re-explain this stuff again in lives and all that kind of stuff. Because this is a lot of the material we're going to cover next month. We're going to do we're going to all do module 5 again from the success path. And then my trainings next month are going to be taking everything a little bit deeper when it comes to just overeating. I'm going to probably include some of this secret stuff. You know, like I love the idea of really taking it apart as to why we do that.
Yes. I think that's what makes it stick so hard. You know, the things that have become just who I am now. I get up in the morning, I sit with my coffee, I make my 24-hour plan. Because you spent time in the module talking about why and what it does and what it helps. And so I got that in my head and now I just do it.
Right.
So I feel like if I can really work on why to do what I want to do, rather than working on why I am doing this in secret, which is what I was doing, trying to figure all this out. I think that'll be really helpful.
Yeah. And like also think about the identity that you have, like, because one of the things that's triggering your secret eating is once you've been around people, I would work on your identity of like, who are you identifying as when you're with people in terms of being an eater?
Okay.
Whatever that is. It's like either that identity is misaligned, like you're just putting on a face for everyone so they think you're someone, and then that's what's drawing you to want to eat. Like, no, that's not really who I am. Like, I know you know, like intellectually, your children and your husband are not going to judge you for your food.
Right.
But the problem is emotionally, you think they're probably thinking things if they knew who you really were.
Right. And I have a thought on that, and it ties into what I want to do in the coaching in that 2-day. And so I'm going to go and I'm going to write about this so that I make sure and I bring this point too.
Yeah, because whatever, like, we want to bring together, like, this version of you that wants to eat this way. Like, we want to bring them two together. It's like, I am a healthy eater and stuff. And healthy eaters have urges. And healthy eaters love 2 sleeves of M&Ms or 2 sleeves of Oreos.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a real healthy eater. Girl, I can get down on nachos and a blondie.
Right.
I mean, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't put me in a room with fresh nachos. You know, it's like, but that's part of being a healthy person. And if that's not your working definition, that might be what's choking you up sometimes. It's like, this is the version I present to the world, but this is the shameful version of me. And like those who have to marry, because this one's not shameful and this one's not better. They're just 2 versions.
Right.
That's it. Right. Okay.
Ooh, I love it. Thank you.
All right.
I can't wait to meet you in April. Thanks a bunch.
Bye-bye. Right. Bye-bye. I just have to tell you guys, I love the 2-day. The 2-day is always so much fun for me because it's like, I feel like I'm in some kind of weird coaching realm where like, it's like, there's nothing like just having like an intimate group and people are talking and then we're just, I'm just like coaching. I ask Kathy and Betsy, like I leave the 2-day tired, but almost wired because like my brain just works crazy. All right, let's see. I'm getting crazy now. Anna, you're next. That's my mommy's name. Hey, finally a familiar face. All day long it's been newbies. I haven't had a familiar face.
Oh,
how are you, Miss Anna?
I'm good, thank you. The 2 day in camp has completely changed my life. Like I kind of felt a little bit of out of control of my life until I went to that, and now I'm just like, I got a list and I'm coming for you. Like if you're on my list of like reasons why I don't do shit or why I eat shit I shouldn't eat or why I don't exercise, like it's just like been a whole, it's awesome.
Oh, thank God, because that day I felt like, so we did, just so y'all know, we did 2 day, and on the second day when I got to her coaching, I felt like, I don't know, like I had like ripped your soul out and laid it on the ground for all to see. And all about work.
I was talking about work, but here's the thing. After that experience, I came home. I went to my room and I wrote like a bunch of stuff. And then I came home and I'm like, no, you need to think about that some more, because what you told Corinne was your problem isn't the problem. It took me like 3 bullshit freak out sessions to realize that what I'm really mad about is that I'm mad when I'm not. Like I have a problem with approval. Okay. And I don't know if I'm the first of 2. And when my parents had me, like I was the first and I got used to being the only child, but I get really upset when I'm not the favorite.
Oh, wow. And
that's my problem at work, is I work hard and I do a good job, but I didn't get passed over for a promotion, but someone at work got double promoted.
Okay.
And that didn't sit well with a few of us that were at the same level, right, from which that person got promoted.
Okay.
So when I got to camp, I was like, I need to figure out what I need to do to get this worked out. And then I got home and I didn't care about getting promoted anymore. I realized it was more about I needed to figure out why I spend so much energy working to get these people's approval when I like my job. But would I rather be a coach? Yeah. Okay. So why don't I just go be a coach, right? Like, but I have this whole thing wound up in me about, I have to do this. I have to do a great job. I have to be better than everyone else because I want to be the favorite. And I'm like, you need to work on this. So that's why when the coaching calendar opened up, I was like, okay, this is, and I'll just tell you, this is really hard for me to like, I'm not super great at bearing my soul. I'm the one that keeps a straight face and gets shit done.
Yeah.
And long to this hard.
Oh, I know. That's why I remember when I was coaching you, it's, you know, I'll just tell you to be the God's honest truth. Even for me, sometimes when I can see someone having a physical reaction to, you know, like being flushed or whatever, you know, sometimes for me, like in my brain, like I'm saying the things and in my brain, I am just like, don't freak out. Don't freak out, you know, because it's hard. I applaud all of you girls for getting on here and being honest and working on yourselves. I know when I get coached, like when I go and get coached from Brooke, I feel exactly your pain. Like I understand it, but it's so beneficial. So we'll just bare our souls and we'll get over it.
Right. But I want you to know that what you said to me, I'm a really intuitive person. I have an intuitive business. I get messages for people. And it was like this, just so you can know how impactful it was. That like, I worry about a lot of different things, but in that moment when you're like, Anna, all I have to say to you is your result is coming. You just need to believe it. It was like, there was a tunnel and there was Corinne and Anna and that's it. And I was just like, that's like the message I needed to receive from the universe, just like in general.
Yeah.
So it was the perfect answer. It just isn't what I thought I wanted to hear,
right.
But it's allowed me to do so many things. To question.
Well, let's think about this. So if your result's coming, right, then you seeking approval is going to get in the way of that.
Right.
Because what result do you want? Other people's approval or like, what is the, like, I want you to really think about this in the model. What result is ultimately what you want?
I just want to be able to work when I want to work and be on my schedule and make the money I want to make. I don't want to have to be tied to some schedule and some project and some whatever. Like, I'm really good at building content and helping people like work through the model or whatever, right? I just feel like I have to do this job that I do because I like money. And and I, when I make this job, when I do this job, I get paid well.
Yeah.
And I'm good and I'm pretty good at it. And I just feel like I'm in this cycle of like, no, you have to keep doing it. You have to keep doing it. You have to keep doing it because there's something in me that wants to know that I'm good at it, but I know that, right?
I know that. It's just making that connection. So the result, like, your problem with your model right now that is driven from frustration and neediness and stuff is that you think your result is I get paid by them and that means I got approval or I get a promotion or whatever. The result isn't the promotion or the money. The result for you is they approve of me.
Right.
So you're trying to like create and seek evidence for that piece versus creating the same evidence. You could still get, you know, well paid. You can still do all this other stuff, but your result changes. And I did a great job. I get my approval.
Right.
I think that's the thing is like a lot of times we forget in the model, we have to be very careful about the result line that we're looking for. Because often what you guys will find is that there's a lot of you who are A-type personalities or who are really good at what you do. I'm one of them. I know a lot of us are like that, where we can make that action line bend to our will.
Yeah.
But the problem is that all the energy that it takes to get that action line happening sucks for us, and it contorts our result line. Our result line becomes burnt out because no one cares about me. So you look for the evidence that you're not good enough.
Right. That's a true statement.
So what do you want to work on?
To know that I approve of me, for that to be enough. That like when I'm happy, when I know I've done a good job, and for it to be okay for me to do what I want to do and not have to follow this like whole path of, I have to make a lot of money. I have to be successful. I have to make my parents happy, like whatever. I've never gotten out of that. Do you know what I mean?
Have you done the definition though of what will make you happy? Like for me, part of what makes me happy is like, I want to have enough money for my family to, I mean, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to have a great salary and stuff. I mean, the last thing I want is to tell Logan, like, look, kid, there's going to be no college. There ain't going to be no special school. And we're eating rice and beans because mama wants to, like, chase her dreams of working 3 hours a week. Right. You know, right. Like, part of, like, I think defining what is going to seek your own approval is really understanding what it is that's important to you. If a certain amount of money is really important and you're making it through that job, but you're aligning it with the kind of person you want to be. Like, this is all the things that like that I approve of. Then when you're going with a whole different energy mindset. Mm-hmm. You're seeing that as evidence of being like, yeah, I'm doing a fucking good job. I get paid well. Like, that's evidence of how great I am versus like going and saying, no, I need to make this amount of money. Cause that's what external success looks like. That's what pleases these people and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So have you done that work yet on just like, literally, this is what I would like say is success for Anna.
I feel like I've done that a few different times, but what happens or what has happened is that like I go around the wheel and then I'm like, that's not quite right. Okay. Maybe I need to change my career, right? Maybe I need to do this. And so I keep going through this process of reinventing myself instead of just being honest about the fact that what I think and what I value isn't really making me happy.
Yeah.
And so I think,
go ahead.
And I'm just, so I think I have to just be like brutally honest about if it was a perfect world, this is what I want. And then I can start there.
Yeah. Like if in a perfect, if I can, this is one of my favorite questions that I was listening to a book the other day on. If I could get paid the amount of money that I want to be paid, this is what I would be doing. It's kind of like what I asked the lady in the first call. If, it, right. if I'm the weight loss genie and for 3 months you get to eat pizza and pasta all you want, this is how much I would weigh. It's like, right. Allow your brain to explore the idea of this is exactly what I would be doing. This is the values I would have. This is the okay. amount of time that I would work and stuff. And then you start working your way backward. It's like, okay, so my current life is set up this way. What are the pieces of my current life that, because every result you have now is all created by Anna. It's not created by your job. Like right. how much money you make is a result of the value you put out into the world. Everything that we do, guys, is always your current life is a sum of the thoughts and the feelings of actions of how you've shown up in the world. So for a lot of you, you keep like dismissing it and wonder why you don't approve of yourself. It's like if you make really good money, start talking to yourself about like, that's not because the job gives it to me. It's because I show up like a badass. It's because I am really smart. This is the reason why they pay me like this. It's like really doing that work. But it's also just like, if I could be doing anything, would be these things. And then ask yourself, why am I not doing it now? Like every single line, why am I not doing it now? It will almost always come back down to fear, afraid okay. of something. I'm afraid that I won't be able to drive the kind of car I like. I'm afraid that my parents won't approve of me if I start my own thing. I'm afraid it won't work.
Right.
Whatever it may be, will always come down to a construct of fears. Then you have right. to ask yourself, okay, is this fear real? And right. if so, then I stay. But I stay not because like I can't have these other things. I stay because I choose.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's totally fair. I think I just needed to talk through it.
Yeah. Oh, I just think it's some of the most important work we do. I do this every quarter for myself.
Okay.
I always look at everything that like I'm doing or not doing. If I could be doing any, the coaches laugh because about every quarter I throw the whole business away and rebuild it.
Mm-hmm.
Like we always have all these big plans and almost every quarter I'm just like, if we could be doing anything for the girls right now, what would we be doing? Of the things we're doing, what do we think we don't need to be doing anymore? And we just start working our way towards that. And it keeps morphing into better things, but it's the willingness to let go of shit that doesn't work. And it's also like getting out of your own way that there's other ways to do things. There's better things out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's also for me a little bit of a process of allowing. Like I think I get into so much like wanting to control what's going to happen so I know the outcome instead of like allowing whatever is going to come to me to just arrive.
Well, and there's also the idea too of looking at what the outcome is just the result line. Just making sure that like you can't necessarily control how much money your business, like your company will pay you this next year.
Right.
But you can certainly influence a lot of it. But most of us, what we do is we think because we don't have total control over that R line.
Yeah.
It's like, you need to put in your R line. Like I will have done everything as required to get the promotion, to get the raise. Like, if I don't get it, it won't be because I sat around in my dirty diaper thinking I couldn't do it or that they somehow controlled it. It's never helpful.
That's it. It's just like with weight loss, right? So I struggled and struggled and struggled until I went to camp to lose any weight. I went up and down to the same 10 pounds since I joined in September.
Mm-hmm.
Come home from camp and I'm like, nope, you're going to do what Karen said and you're going to wait until you actually feel hungry before you eat.
Mm-hmm.
And it took almost 2 days for me to actually get hungry. And like that has completely changed. Like I've lost 2 pounds every week. Like I don't even want to say that too loud because I'm just like, shit, like somebody's gonna, like I'm gonna jinx it. But now I get it. It's working. So I just need to do the same thing with my work thing. So
yeah, you. I think it's always good for all of you to think about your result line and just put whatever you want on it and then figure out how you want to think and feel and the actions it's going to require there. And then just go after it with abandonment.
Okay.
And quit worrying so much about if you do it perfectly, if you're going to get that result and stuff. I worry so little. It's amazing. But like when I think about like my goals and stuff, I think about them and then I write them every day. But I think more about like if you ever look at my journals, there is so much writing and so much stuff about the action line, the action line, the action line. I stay with like, what are you doing today? How are you going to think and feel today? Like I always have like, here's my thought. Here's how I want to feel today. By the time I go to bed tonight, here's how I want to feel then too. And then everything else is about the actions. And then I just get to work. And let me just tell you, like this week, my Mac died.
Yeah, I saw that.
Just like stuff that you're never going to be able to control. But guess what I didn't do? Like, well, I guess I can't work this week. Well, that sucks. It's like, no, the show goes on. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to keep working towards my result.
No, that's good. That's good. Thank you.
Yeah, you're so good. You're going to be just fine. Are you really wanting to be a coach?
Yeah, for a long time, I've been putting it off for about 10 years. And I think you probably heard this already, but I've gone to counseling school and I realized that that isn't the method that works, right? And most of my papers and stuff were on cognitive behavioral therapy, which has a model similar to the one that we use.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you, in the hospital, it never worked. Like this one would have worked. Better. It would have worked better. So no, I just really like kind of digging in with people and getting old shit out of the way. Like, I don't know what it's just really satisfying. So yeah, I think.
No, I get it. It's like popping a pimple. It's very satisfying. I know a lot of people are like, oh, that's terrible. I'm like, no, Dr. Pimple Popper, I love her.
Right. No, I know. So I'm going to take the steps to get there. I'm going to move in that direction. So, but thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, as my mentor tells me, the best client you'll ever have is your own, because like when you are working on yourself, you're the hardest person you'll ever have to work on, because you will buy your own bullshit tooth and nail. And it's like when you can self-coach and you can get past your own crap and stuff, you can fucking help anybody else. Everybody else will seem so easy after that. I think it's one of the reasons why I can see y'all's bullshit so much, because I'm always looking at my own shit and I'm like, oh, are you serious, Corinne?
So. No, that's for me an absolutely true statement. Like I have a stack of these like papers at my desk, mm-hmm. and every time I'm like, well, that didn't turn out like I thought it would. I'm like, model. And I'm like, I make myself do it because I'm like, what were you thinking?
Right.
Like, do better for yourself than that, you know, like figure out what your thought is. So I'm appreciative and I'll see you in October at camp. I'm waiting for that. I'm waiting for the email so I can sign up.
Awesome. Awesome. I don't know when Kathy's opening that up, but it'll probably be right after April camp. So we'll probably open it up.
Yeah.
All right, lady. It was good seeing you.
Yeah, it's good to see you too. Have a good weekend. Okay.
All righty. Bye. Okay. Let's see. When you ask Natalie how much weight she would like to lose in the next 3 months, my brain says 30 pounds. Is that reasonable? I'm about 200 pounds right now. I don't think it's unreasonable, Danny. I think it's fine. Just pick whatever you want. It's just like what I've been talking about. Just put whatever you want in that R line and then just show up like a boss for it. You'll either lose 30 pounds or you'll show up like a boss and maybe 30 wasn't realistic and you lose 25 or 20, but you'll be able to say like, okay, the only reason I didn't lose 30 was because of these things. If you did everything that you said you would do in order to lose 30, then you're just like, well, all right. Then that was the result I was supposed to get. Next goal. And that you release self-judgment. But what we do a lot of times is we think we need to know, okay, I don't want to set a goal unless I know I can achieve it. And I'm like, that's such bull crap, y'all. Just set a goal, I don't need to know I can achieve it. I always believe in myself enough to know I'm going to do everything it takes to get it. Like, that's what I think about the most. And then I get in there and I just get busy doing that shit. And I don't think so much about, like, you know, because there's all kinds of goals that I miss all the time, but I do amazing things on the way. And I'm like, wow, that worked out pretty good, even if I didn't get whatever it is I said I would do. Hey, Jana. I'm struggling with the model. I have watched the videos, watched calls where it has worked, but I have trouble deciding what to write for everything except C. Just put in, what I would do is I would just put in that circumstance. And usually when people, a lot of times when they have a hard time figuring out what to write in, I usually say, like, when I think of this circumstance, one feeling I get is, and then you write that one word in there. And here's the thing, Melanie, if you're struggling with what to put in there, it's because you're overthinking the model. You're thinking there's a right way or a wrong way, or if I don't do it exactly right, somehow I'm going to jack myself up. That's not the case. The purpose of the model isn't to get it right. The purpose of the model is to get you to think about your life, to start pulling apart some stuff so that you can kind of understand how things are working for you or against you. So, like, what I would do is if you just do your circumstance and then just say, okay, when I think about that circumstance, I feel this, and just write one word and put that on your feeling line. And then one of the things I like to do is say, when I'm feeling whatever that is, it's probably because I'm thinking. And then you just take a guess and you write in a sentence. And then you write in, these are like on the action line. You're just like, when I'm thinking this and I'm feeling this, I'm usually doing what? And then that means this happened. But honestly, if like, I will tell everybody a big super secret since we have so many newbies right now. To me, if there was like one thing that I could teach you guys about the model and we threw the rest of it away and you never did anything else with it, it would be, do a thought download, which is where you write like the stream of unconsciousness, right? You're just writing. It's paragraphs. It's all the things you think about for the day, about maybe it's a journal topic, a question, or something like that. Go back and pull out facts and write them down. Like, take your whole big paragraph, page, whatever. Like, my thought downloads are like, let me see. So like this whole page, right? This was a thought download. This is a book that Brooke gave me. Of that whole page, go through there and just write on a facing page, and here were the facts of that. Usually there's not much. That will at least let you see this. Here's the story that I've created in my thought download about just these things. So if you think about when you're listening to this call and you go back to when I was, I think it was coaching Rebecca? It was either Rebecca or Suzanne. Two sleeves of Oreos. All of this shame and all this other stuff, and I shouldn't be eating like this and blah, blah, blah. All of that was a story that her brain is constructing around, I want two sleeves of Oreos versus two Oreos. Our brain's job is to make up a story about our world and about how our life is going. That's just the way it works. And there's nothing wrong with that. As evolved humans that no longer grunt and have language, and we have our, you know, reasoning brain, our advanced reasoning skills, our job is to understand when we're just creating wild story, which is the thought download is almost always going to be your wild story about a few facts. And your advanced reasoning brain is to take the few facts and create the story that works for you. So if you never did a model and stuff, and all you did was pull out some facts, then rewrite it and like, all right, so if I just had these facts, here's how I would like to rewrite it. This would probably work out better for me. Guys, you'd see your life changing and you'd never even have to do a model. Seriously. All right, that's it for today, y'all. I hope y'all have a good one. I will see you tomorrow night for Q&A all about accountability. Let me give you a couple announcements. So that Q&A will be in the Facebook group. I will be taking all your questions about accountability, anything that you want to talk about. I will be either teaching it, you can ask me questions, you can talk about like how do you switch groups, you can do anything like that. I'll be answering all of those. Do not forget to sign up for Don't Stop Believing. If you want to get in, go to the website, PNP Tribe, go to community, and then pull up the events, and then Don't Stop Believing is open. The Facebook group is now open for those people, and then we are going to start the training program this week. If you don't get in right now, let's say you're thinking about it, or you need to wait for your paycheck to come in, whatever it is, and it's going to be a couple of weeks, we have a 16-week training program for the 5K, the 10K, and the half marathon. No matter which one you pick, guys, we have made this training program long on purpose. One, so that people can sign up late if they want to. Two, so that you just have plenty of time. So if you start a little later and you already can walk, let's say 2 miles comfortably, or even three, doesn't matter, as long as you're not just like starting from like, I can only walk 5 minutes. Like if you're at a point where you could probably go out and you could walk a couple of miles comfortably, not fast, not hardy, any of that stuff, you'll be fine. We always build our training programs like with bumper and extra so that people can like, sometimes you're going to travel and you're going to need to miss a long run. Things are going to happen. Some weeks you're going to be extra tired. We're going to say like, don't do the long run this week. Just skip this one. So we always have lots of runway for our stuff. And we want to give you guys 4 solid months in that group to work with us, because a lot of you are learning how to be first-time runners, first-time distance walkers, all kinds of stuff. Especially if you're just interested in doing like the 10K or the 5K, 16 weeks is uber generous. A 5K and a 10K, you can be ready in 8 to 10 weeks. So, but we're just putting everybody in the group at the same time so that you guys have an opportunity to get to know each other, bond, you get to experience all the training. If you're going to, you may want to start this year doing just like the 5K or the 10K as a springboard to do something this fall so that you learn and you train and you understand what it takes to maybe even go off to do a half marathon later in the year. So those are all those options. And I'm trying to think if there was anything else that was super interesting about this week. Oh, and Tuesday night, Kathy has coaches hours. So guys, don't forget, we have office hours on Tuesdays and Saturdays where you can come with no appointment and you can get coached. Everything is on the website, pnptribe.com. Just go to scroll down the main page and you'll see the calendar. And you can just show up and you can get coached. And we are getting people through in the old PNP tribe. All right, guys, y'all have a good one. Talk to you soon. Bye, y'all.